everyone, and welcome to this Freshfields podcast from the EU Regulatory and Public Affairs team in Brussels. Today we're going to be discussing the priorities of the new European Commission in a number of key business areas. To start us off with what has been happening in Brussels over the summer is Leia. Over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Indeed, a lot has been happening since our last podcast, which took place just before the European Parliament elections in May. After the EU citizens went to the polling stations in June and July, a lot of negotiations took place in Brussels to discuss the allocations of the top jobs in the different EU institutions. And over the summer, member states decided on the name of their candidates to join the next college of commissioners. First, we're going to look at what happened in the European Parliament and the new dynamics after the European election at the end of May. A first point we wanted to highlight is that these elections in May saw the highest turnout in the last 20 years, with more than 50% of EU citizens. Another takeaway from these European Parliament elections is that despite what many feared in Brussels, the Eurosceptic parties did not do as well as expected, and certainly not well to be a leading majority, meaning that European forces, pro-European forces, will remain strong. That being said, we will see a new balance of power because the two main groups, the centre-right EPP and the centre-left SND, lost for the first time ever their absolute majority. That means that they will have to find other partners to form coalitions and to have voting majorities in the European Parliament. Many observers said that actually the biggest winners from these elections were the liberal groups, the liberal and the green groups, the liberal groups now called Renew Europe, formerly that was ALDE, and the Greens, which did really well across Europe. And of course, this breakthrough from the liberals and the Greens will have an impact on the policy agenda. With the Greens election, we do expect a drive on the sustainability agenda, which will be at the top of the EU priorities. With the Liberals, we do expect the focus to be on digitalization, especially issues such as artificial intelligence or how to regulate platforms. Of course, something else to consider after the European Parliament election is what happened in the UK, which took part in these elections, despite leaving the EU or scheduled to leave the EU on the 31st of October. So UK MEPs will leave the European Parliament before the new Commission takes office and starts legislating. So in this sense, we don't expect UK MEPs to play a very active role. That being said, it might change the balance of power a little bit, because once they leave the EU, the seats of the UK MEPs will be reallocated to other MEPs from other member states. On the front of the Eurosceptic groups, although they didn't do as good as some polls predicted before the elections, it's good to note that a new political group was formed under the name Identity and Democracy, which brings together far-right forces, ranging from National Front, from Marine Le Pen in France, the Lega in Italy, or AfD in Germany. And they did say that they intend to play a role in this mandate and to be more active on policymaking. Now we will be looking at the new faces of the European administration and how some of the key positions have been decided and agreed. Victor, over to you.
Thanks, Leah. Indeed, it has been a long process. At the beginning of July, after the two failed attempts, the 28 EU member state leaders reached an agreement on the nominations for the top jobs, based on the results of the European elections. The appointments they made were seen as surprising by the general public, since some of the nominees were not initially on the negotiating table, or at least were not publicly expected. Among these names, the German Christian Democrat Ursula von der Leyen was nominated as European Commission President for the next five-year legislative term, starting on the 1st November 2018. The name of the former German Defense Minister, came as a compromise between the German Chancellor Merkel and the French President Macron. As part of this compromise, EU leaders agreed to have two senior vice presidents on an equal footing, that were Franz Timmermans and Maigret Bessager. The other nominees were Josep Borrell as a high representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. Then they also nominated Christine Lagarde as president of the ECB and Charles Michel as the president of the European Council. Coming back to the nomination of Ursula von der Leyen, it's important to mention that after her nomination, she needed the support of the European Parliament to finally become the Commission President. Despite some initial reluctance to back her candidacy, mainly from the Socialists and the Greens, she managed to clinch the required numbers in a very tight vote on the 16th of July. This was not, of course, the overwhelming support that she would have desired, but the fact that she did not command a greater share of the vote does not necessarily mean that this commission will have difficulties when it comes to pushing through policies, or for instance that Ursula von der Leyen will be a weak commission president.
In this next section, we'd like to take a look at some of the key political issues on the agenda for the next European Commission that have a significant impact on businesses in the European Union. I think the one that is the most horizontal and affects the broadest number of policy areas is sustainability. As outlined in our introduction, sustainability is an issue that has garnered a lot of support across all of the political groups in the European Parliament, more or less. And therefore, this explains its prominence over all policy fields that we will mention in this section. So first up, and the most obvious one, is, of course, what will the European Union be doing about climate change? It's worth noting that in von der Leyen's speech to the European Parliament, she pledged that the European Union would become the first climate-neutral continent in the world by 2050. And the way that the European Union is going to deliver on this target is by presenting a Green Deal for Europe during the first 100 days of the new European Commission. This, in more detail, we understand means an extension of the emission trading system, for example, or more concretely, the introduction of a carbon border tax. Turning now to the economy and financial services, it's interesting to note that actually the financial services agenda was broadly missing from von der Leyen's original political priorities that she presented back in July. This is, of course, with the exception of three major areas. The first one, completing the banking union. This was followed by a further drive to deepen the European Monetary Union and, in particular, strengthening the international role of the euro. Turning now to economic and financial affairs, it's interesting to note that, broadly, the financial services agenda was missing from von der Leyen's original political priorities that she presented to the European Parliament in July. That is with the exception of two broad work streams. The first, which is completing the banking union, and secondly, the initiative to deepen the European Monetary Union, which will be done primarily through strengthening the international role of the euro, where work has already been undertaken in the previous mandate. Nevertheless, we do know that DG FISMA has a number of key initiatives in the pipeline. In the first 100 days of the new European Commission, DG FISMA will be looking to tackle three priority areas, which include doing more on anti-money laundering. This is largely a response to the money laundering scandals that unfolded during the previous mandate. The EU is considering setting up an EU supervisor specifically for money laundering that would be separate to the existing European supervisory agencies. Next, the Commission has a chunky piece of work ahead of it in how to tackle the remaining elements of the Basel III package that still need to be implemented at European level, as well as looking at cybersecurity and cyber resilience from a financial services perspective. The taxation agenda is also one that continues to remain strong in this new political mandate. You will, of course, remember that in the previous political mandate, taxation was a theme that really took off with the various taxation scandals, including Panama Papers and LuxLeaks, where the Commission decided to take a tough stance despite taxation policy being usually the remit of the member states only. In this mandate, I think we can certainly expect more on the corporate taxation front. One of the Commission's flagship initiatives, which it tried to tackle in the last months but didn't quite get there, was setting up a fair digital tax. The compromise at the moment is if by the end of 2020, no agreement at the international level via the OECD can be agreed, that the EU would push ahead with its own proposal. It remains to be seen whether such a proposal would only touch the big tech companies or would also affect other types of corporations. And there is more. I will hand over now to Christian to talk you through some of the other initiatives on the agenda.
Thanks, Natalie. Let me just speak about a few of the other fields then. In the technology field, one big initiative that the European Commission plans to take is a regulatory strategy overarching on artificial intelligence, looking at the human and also the ethical implications of AI. Another field that they're looking to tackle is a Digital Services Act, an overarching initiative again that will reach digital platforms and will have implications both for services and products. And then there are a number of more horizontal fields that the Commission is looking at, most specifically competition and trade. Let me first turn to competition. We know that DG Competition is actually planning a sectoral inquiry, likely in the digital space. In addition, what they're not going to be doing, even though France and Germany have asked it to, they're not keen on a review of the merger regulation, which would potentially then give member states a veto on merger decisions. And that's interesting because it links into the trade agenda. Interesting about the trade agenda is that the Commission is planning an initiative for full reciprocity in public procurement. And that's exactly what the French and the Germans have asked for as part of an overarching industrial policy for Europe vis-a-vis third countries. Also interesting in the trade space is that the European Union will want a sustainability chapter in every free trade agreement that it is about to reach in the future. All of this is part of a newer industrial policy push that von der Leyen is planning for her team. So much for policy, though. Let's talk a bit about the next steps. What's going to happen next? For the new European Commission to take office on the 1st of November, according to plan, they have to go through a number of steps. First of all, before the 10th of September, von der Leyen needs to present her new team, the so-called college, and she is currently in negotiations with the candidates about their roles and their portfolios, and they may well make changes to the structure of the European Commission. After she's done that, however, the European Parliament has to approve every candidate, and they will hold public hearings with each of these and may actually send individual candidates back to their respective member states, who would then have to suggest a new candidate. There's a number of things we can already see about the new college. Probably we will see a different structure, different roles, and also something that is very noticeable is that von der Leyen is keeping her promise for an equal distribution between men and women in number of portfolios. However, it goes too far to really go through each of the individual portfolios and candidates at this stage. For that, we would like you to have a look at our overview on our website where we list all the candidates and the portfolios that they are interested in. For the moment, we have to leave you here. We're going to be back with further analysis after next steps have taken place on this, in particular with a focus on what this new European Commission is going to mean for business. Thank you very much.